can be that I spend more time with you. If I had one wish, shopping bags, popping tags, do it all for you, yeah. If I had one wish, I can make all of your dreams come true, girl. If I had one wish, you yeah. would never sleep not alone, I won't leave you lonely. If I had one wish, baby, you know that I'm busy. I be ripping and running streets, I'm trying to get it. Gotta take care of my children. Baby mama, they just be tripping, they don't get it. And I know it seems like I put you last, but it ain't the case. I be so busy grinding, trying to make a way. I hope you can understand, just be patient, babe. Oh, girl, go ahead and set the date. Let me know just the time and place that you wanna just rearrange for. So we can reunite. You got me so excited. Give you everything you wish for. If I had one wish.
Hey, how y'all doing? It's your girl, Dee Dee Leggett, a.k.a. The Core Queen. And I am back with another episode of The Core Queen Chat. Y'all, we on episode 83. And today we'll be talking about breaking the cycle of burnout with my boy, my homie. No, I'm joking. Dr. Akani. Y'all, if y'all don't know who Dr. Akani is, first of all, I'm so impressed with him because my son like aspires to be like him one day. He wants to be a physical therapist and he's a physical therapist. So I'm so excited about this. And I can't wait for my son to go back and watch this because I'm like, how often do you get to see a black male physical therapist? So before we bring him on the show, let me tell y'all a little bit about Dr. Akani. Dr. Akani, a Forbes health feature wellness expert, doctor of physical therapy and founder of the Wellness Lab. With a rapidly growing social media following of over 700,000, Dr. Akani is redefining what it means to live well by helping women, especially busy mothers, achieving real lasting transformation in their health, bodies, and relationships. Lord, you know they need some help in that area. For nearly a decade, Dr. Akani has combined clinical expertise with holistic approach to wellness, empowering more than 100,000 women worldwide to build strength from the inside out. His work bridges the gap between physical therapy and everyday life, offering practical, science-backed strategies that make sustainable health accessible to all. Y'all welcome Dr. Akani to the show.
Hello, hey, Dr. Hello, Akani. Hello, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm blessed. It's a beautiful day. I cannot complain.
You out here changing lives. Okay.
Listen, I'm trying. I am trying.
Well, I am so honored to have you on the show because I think it is so important, especially now that women are being more vocal about their health, about their wellness, about their self-care, all of that good stuff. Now we have more of a platform because of social media. So just coming from a man's perspective and being heard is just almost unheard of. So yeah. I appreciate you for that.
Thank you. Yes, that's one of the things I hear often from my ladies. It's nice to be able to like just talk and have somebody listen and it just be not one of their girlfriends. So yes.
Yeah, well, actually, they're talking. You're not like, That's crazy. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, what inspired you to build the Wellness Lab, and what is the Wellness Lab?
Yeah, so the Wellness Lab is a leading fitness and nutrition company where we help busy professional women not only lose weight but improve their health markers. So it's deeper than just weight loss. Like I want you to actually, if you have diabetes, I want you to be able to get off your diabetic medication. If you have high blood pressure, I want you to be able to reverse your high blood pressure. So we're taking a deeper approach than just like, hey, I need you to exercise and eat more. Like, what are your habits? What is lifestyle? I want you to build lifestyle habits to getting you healthy. And what really inspires the work that we do. So I started out as just a personal trainer and I went back to school because I felt like there's a gap. I know enough, but there's a lot that I don't know. Mm-hmm. And once I went back, I got to dive deeper into the realm of physical therapy. And then my mother, she had her things with high cholesterol, high blood pressure. And she started to pick up my little traits of like a smoothie in the morning. And I could see her health habits start to develop. So it's like, I want to help women that look just like my mother. And that kind of like inspired all the things that we do within the Wellness Lab.
Okay. So is the Wellness Lab, like, is it a physical location where people come? Oh, it's online.
Yeah, completely online. So now we're global now. We have clients. It's pretty dope. We got clients in Canada. We have clients in the Netherlands. So we're everywhere now, which is really, really nice.
Nice. I love it. I love it. I'm a fitness coach myself, so that's huge to me. And I'm a nutritionist. So a lot of people, like you said, there's a gap there, because I can teach you, I can train you, I can tell you what to eat, but like, I don't know the medical side of those things. So I can try to help you with certain stuff, but don't sue me. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm quick to tell somebody, listen, that's out of the scope of what I know, but I'm gonna go figure it out. I'm gonna come back to you with the right answer.
Exactly. Yeah. So what message about wellness do you feel women need to hear the most right now?
Give yourself grace. I think that is the biggest thing. I was just on a coaching call with my ladies before I got on here, and a few of them was sharing, yeah, doc, so I'm losing inches, I'm getting stronger, but the scale isn't moving. And I'm like, we're overlooking the first two things that you said.
Non-scale victories.
A couple months ago, we wasn't losing inches. A couple months ago, we wasn't feeling stronger. So while the scale may not be moving at the pace that you wanted to, progress is happening. You have to give yourself grace in the process. Otherwise, it's not going to be enjoyable. You're going to be frustrated the whole time when we get back into these cycles. So it's giving yourself grace of, I said I was going to work out 5 times this week, but I only got 3. I have some level of momentum. Mm-hmm. I said I was going to eat healthier, but I messed up at lunch. Okay, cool. Let's get back into a rhythm for dinner. So have leading with grace throughout the entire journey, because I think we go in and that all or none of it has to be perfect. And it doesn't. Ain't nothing we do in this life perfect.
Nope.
So why do we have to have perfection in this specific area of our real health as well?
Yeah, that's good. That's really good, because I think also a lot of times women, they overthink. So we're like, I got to do it right now. It has to be done right now. I got to get it done by my birthday, or I got this trip coming up. And it's like, no, this is a lifetime thing. You got to do this forever. So if you slip up, it's okay. The problem is when you slip up and you stay there.
Yes. And we have a 3, 6, and 12 month program within what we do. And at the top of the year, I've been coaching my team of, I think, honestly, we may just do 6 and 12, because you can come in, even if you want to lose 15 pounds, what's going to happen after the 15? We have to keep working on something. Otherwise, the weight just come right back. So while it may take 3 months to get us there, the 3 months after to keep it off is the most important. And I think if people start approaching this with the mindset of, yes, I have this goal, but that's just a stepping stone in where I'm trying to get to. Like, I'm trying to build a lifestyle. And that is the thing that I think a lot of us need to focus on a little more.
Yeah. Y'all, we can't be big backs all our life, okay?
Not at all.
Can't be big backs all your life. So what does real lasting transformation look like beyond the buzzwords?
The first two that come to the top of my mind is being an old age and still being able to get off the ground, get up, crawl around with your grandkids. I think that's lasting transformation of the work that I put back then, of the little squats that I hated, the eating healthy. I'm able to be very active with my grandkids and not slow them down when we out or when I'm babysitting them. I think that's one layer. The second layer is when we look at health. I'm not a health liability later down the line. I can still, yes, there's going to get a point where my kids got to take care of me, but I want it to be at the last point. So I'm not a liability from a health standpoint. I don't have to be on all this medication. We don't got to be putting me in these big fancy hospitals because I can't take care of myself, because I'm very still active and able. So for me, that's long-lasting health transformation, but I don't think a lot of us think that far out.
Right. That's big, because I'm hearing a lot, and I know a lot of caretakers and how stressful that is to be a caretaker. And it's like, dang, like I don't want anybody to have that burden on them with me. Like, what do I do now to avoid that? Like, yeah, that's tough, because, yeah, no, I don't want to leave my kids that type of burden, for a long, 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 long time.
Yeah, because some of it is inevitable with age and with growth. I understand it. But if I can at least push it off as far as possible, just by the little things, going for a walk, eating a little more fruits and vegetables, watching how much alcohol it'll take. If I could do the little things that stack up over time, I put all of us into a better position.
Absolutely. I agree. I like that. Those are good. So how is the role of physical therapy evolving, especially in the space of women's health?
Yes, 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 yes. So it's one of those things that in the beginning, it wasn't tackled as often. But now there's a lot of physical therapy clinics around that are starting to introduce more things around pelvic health. Every woman who goes through pregnancy, I 100% cannot say, urge this enough, you need to be in physical therapy. Especially if, whether you had vaginal delivery or a C-section, you need to go to physical therapy almost, let's say, 4 to 6 weeks after. Because that is a significant change that has happened. Your pelvic floor has been stretched out. It's trauma to the body. It's a beautiful experience for y'all. I understand it, but it's still trauma. You have to go through the stages of healing and recovery, and a physical therapist is equipped to be able to walk you through that. There's been times where a lot of ladies still have, they'll go to the gym post-pregnancy, try to get back into a rhythm. They'll do a squat and they end up having a leak. Yeah, your pelvic floor hasn't been built back up. Physical therapy will help you with that. Starting to experience low back pain that prolongs even further. Physical therapy will help you with that. Mm-hmm. So I think now the conversations are starting to evolve a little more, and there's more clinics that are starting to implement private rooms so that women can go in there, feel comfortable, and do pelvic floor rehab, do the internal things and feel comfortable. So it's evolving, but I think it's nice that the conversations are starting to happen a little more.
Yeah, because I literally never heard of it when I had kids. Like, that was never a suggestion. Nobody ever talked about it. But now, like, when I get clients, there are some issues that they didn't fix after having a baby that are like, man, this is like, you got to start all the way over to rebuild all of this stuff. So that's definitely super important. And a lot of people only look at physical therapy from like an injury standpoint and not, I mean, of course, like you said, that's a trauma that happened to your body, but they don't look at it that way.
Everything was just stretched out. Your core was stretched out. Your pelvic floor was stretched out. And you're supposed to just, everything going to go back together. It's supposed to be just as strong as it was before, just as tight as it was before. But it's not, especially if you wasn't doing targeted exercises. If you wasn't somebody that was in the gym, you're not going to be, it's going to be harder to get back in afterwards. So you need that step-by-step guidance as you go through, one, to prevent injury, but two, so you can start to feel like yourself again.
Yeah, that's good. I definitely agree with that. Too late for me, but thank you. No.
Listen, it's never too late. You might be surprised.
So what are some like of the most common signs that women are being burned out and they don't even realize it?
I would say headaches is one. That tired but wired, where I want to go to bed. I know I need to go to bed, but I literally just cannot sleep. Lack of appetite all day long. You got no appetite, but come 11 o'clock, now you're just ravenous and going for everything. Wow. I would say those are the top three. So if you're experiencing any of those, it's like, all right, let me take a step back and look at my surroundings and look at my lifestyle. Because those are signs that like your cortisol levels may be elevated.
I feel like you've been in my business.
Listen, I've talked to you too.
Dang, that's and I never literally just. I think we just go about the day like, it's just the norm. Dang, I feel so guilty.
there's a thing for me where I always try to leave space between my workload and my capacity. And for me, I know I've hit my capacity when I get a headache. And I'm like, all right, bro, we done a little too much today. I either got to drink more water or I literally just need to step away from the computer and go do something else. Some of us push through those signs. Other ones just ignore it and be like, oh, that's just normal. It's not.
Yep. That's you're right. I got to do better. Damn. I shouldn't have had you on my show. No, I'm joking.
listen, I'm being the truth.
Dang, that's good. So what practices do you recommend for women who feel overwhelmed but don't know where to start?
Take a deep dive and assess. If you assess your whole day, what is your number one stressor? Do we have the ability to make any adjustments to it? For some of us, it's the job. Cool, you can't do nothing about the job. I get it. But some of us, we can. You are in control of your lunch break. Stop. Put a block on your calendar so you can actually eat lunch. No one's telling you to work through your lunch break. You're doing it on purpose. Eat through your lunch break. Or, doc, I can't eat during the day because they be putting meetings on my thing. Okay, cool. Are you drinking water during your meetings? Perfect. Get you one of these little 15-gram protein drinks and drink that during your meeting. Now you're still getting your calories. So you got to figure out, what are my stressors? And then start to itemize. Am I in control of making an adjustment there? Because if you are, then start making the small adjustments. And over time, the stress level should come down.
That's good. That is good. See, because I have a coworker. He happens to be here right now. And he be laughing at me because I work from home and I take my lunch break. I log off and I take my lunch break. He's talking about, you taking a lunch break. What you do today? Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
because that's what you do.
That's funny.
Yeah, it don't matter what I did before that. It's still my lunch break.
Listen, I support it. I support it.
I'm taking my break. Listen, he's a hater because he got to go in the office.
Yeah, working from home has been it's a blessing and a curse, because I feel like I'm sitting in front of this computer all day long in days. But
yeah, you got to get up. Like, you know what? Nope. Take a break.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, to force myself.
So yeah, So they can control those things. And I think sometimes we are like, we're doing so much that we feel guilty if we don't continue to do that thing, or we feel like we're going to let somebody down, or we're going to drop the ball on something. And it's like, nobody's going to die if this daggone spreadsheet don't get done.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
The best thing you could do is put your phone on do not disturb sometimes.
Whew.
There's in my company, we have over 20 people, and literally there's days where I feel like everybody's trying to talk to me. Then we have clients, everybody trying to talk to me. Some days the best thing I could do for my piece is to put my phone on do not disturb.
Yeah.
I get to respond when I'm feeling okay. And whenever I notice that, if I get a notification, I start feeling anxious. I'm like, yeah, bro, I need to take a break.
Oh, that was just me.
No.
Oh my God. I haven't had a ringer on my phone in so long, because I realized, like, I'm like, oh, I gotta do this right now. Like, no, I don't.
Yes.
And I think we're living in a world of entitlement too. Mm-hmm. Because you call my phone does not mean I have to answer it.
Yes.
And they're like, I just called you. I know. And I chose not to answer it. Like, what is it? I'll call you back when I feel like it. Like, why do you feel like I have to answer my phone? Is somebody dying right now? If they are, call 911. I can't help them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the same way I am. If it's important, most people double call. And then it's like, all right, let me stop what I'm doing and pick up, because you double call. But for me, I'm big advocate on, I treat text messages like emails. I'm going to get to it when I am in the mental space to really, like, fully give it my all. If you look at my email inbox, I have 5 different emails. All of them have over 5,000 unread messages. I just don't have the capacity to go through it and talk to every single person. And that's okay. Yeah.
It is okay. It is. Because if it's, like you said, if it's that important, they'll figure out another way to contact you, or something will happen.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I don't have time. Y'all got to leave me alone. It's too much.
It gets overwhelming, especially if you think about it. We got all these different notifications and all these things pulling us in different directions, and then at the end of the day you forget to take them on. Like, how do I feel? Like, I was doing all of these things, but how do I feel today? Like, did I have a good day? I feel like I didn't have a moment to breathe and really assess where I'm feeling right now.
Yeah.
And I think that with the age of social media, we just go from one thing to the next. There's never any like stillness at all.
Yeah. See, that's why I enjoy my true crime, because then I can look at somebody else's life that's worse than mine.
See, your true crime is my Food Network. At the end of each day, I'm watching something on Food Network, whether it's Chopped or something, just to disconnect. Yeah, see these people fight it out over food, I'm hooked.
Somebody else is stressed and I can get to laugh at it.
Uh-huh.
So how does burnout impact, like, other aspects in people's lives, like their relationships, their parenting, their self-esteem? How does that impact that?
I would say, if we group relationships, parenting, all of that, one, you're unable to show up as your full self. Mm. Like you're present, but you're not fully present. And I've struggled with this at times where my body is here, but my mind isn't, because my mind is trying to solve all the different problems, and it affects, because I got little kids, and some of y'all may have little kids where they know if your mind is fully there. They can feel the energy, which your spouse, they know if you're really listening or not. So I think if we continue to let burnout persist, it can creep into all of those areas, because now you're a little more irritable. Now you're a little more snappy. Now you're a little more short. Don't nobody want to be around you. Then you got to have that sit down conversation with everybody and apologize. It's like sometimes, especially again, if we're in control of our schedule, can you take a moment to pause between whatever your stressor is and the people you got to interact with, to have that moment to kind of reflect and recenter yourself? Because oftentimes the people we're in relation with aren't the issue, but we bring all of that into them when it's not really them.
Yeah, that's so true. Man, that's so true. I have a 16-year-old and he's telling me about his day and I'm like, so animated. I'm like, can you just hurry up and get through the story? But I'm like, you know what? Nope. Just sit down and just enjoy the story. Just enjoy it. Because it's going to be a long one.
Yeah. My little boys will come, and like, even after once I'm done here, I'm going to go sit with them. And in my mind, we're going to read one book. They want to read the whole book rack. Yeah, I'm like, all right. And sometimes like my wife caught me and said it one time. He's like, you got to be more patient with them. I'm like, you're right. Like,
how old are they?
Every book. I got a 3-year-old and a 1.5-year-old. And we got a baby girl due in a month. It's busy.
It's busy. Y'all. Oh, yes, indeed. Oh, my. And okay. That's a lot.
It's busy.
It's very busy. You better read all them books, play with them. Listen,
don't get quiet here.
They even sit still to read, like they sit there.
Funny enough, my 1.5-year-old, he loves reading. Like he'll literally go in his room, grab a book, and close the door. And I'm like, bro, what are you doing? You can't be here by yourself. But like, he loves reading. When you go in his room, if you're in there long enough, he'll sit you in a chair, like sit. Okay. Grab a book, come sit on your lap, and like, aww, he just loves reading. He ain't staring at nothing but the pictures.
That's so cute. Mm. Ooh, child, I don't miss them days. Oh my God. I'm sleepy thinking about it.
Listen, in the thick of it. Yeah, I'm trying to get the little bit of sleep that I can before this girl get here.
Well, good. So, congratulations on the new baby coming, because ooh, she about to run the house. You hear me?
Yeah, so I've heard.
I love it. So what myths about self-care do you wish more women understood?
Self-care is deeper than your external.
I almost got up and threw a shoe and I ain't got one. You better preach to the choir. Oh my gosh.
Because a lot of us just look at the, I'm going to get my nails done. I'm going to get my hair done. I'm going to do all these things to make me look good, but you're dying inside. Have you took a moment and like, there's different aspects. What does my relational health look like? What does my financial health look like? What does my mental health look like? What does my spiritual health look like? Those are all aspects of your self-care that we don't necessarily pay attention to. We just want to look good. I look good. I feel good. It don't always work that way. You can look amazing. Because look, all the rich people in the world who commit suicide, all the rich people in the world who have these internal battles, just because you got it all on the outside, what is the internal aspect of self-care looking like? And that is the part we need to start diving into a little more.
That is it right there. That is it. Oh my goodness. Because it seems like self-care is just a buzzword now. People are just saying it, but they're not really, like, you're not really applying this. And it's funny that you actually pinpointed like the rich people in that analogy, because I was just thinking about, and this is so off track, but I have to say it because you're rich people, and it kind of ties in because I was watching the P. Diddy documentary.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but yeah.
Uh-huh. Like to have it all and it's still not enough. This is crazy, and that's that thing. Like these rich people have all of these outside accolades, and they're not taking care of what is something inside that's eating them alive that they will not address.
And it. I check myself on this at times. Are you running to or are you running from? Because there's a difference. And sometimes I catch myself and, bro, you're running from, you're so busy because you're running from being able to sit down and actually like check in. So yeah. I always try to ask myself, am I running to, am I running from? And then the higher I climb, I realize the closer I need to get to God, because if I'm not, it could all go bad immediately.
Yep. Yep. That's what's missing once you get up there, is people are just willing, like, it's like they get to this level and all the morals and values just go out the window. It's like, y'all, like, y'all was willing to risk everything for money. It is not that serious.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice to say no. It's nice to say no. Even with things like, and it's a small thing. It could be the littlest thing at the stages that we're at now of, hey, do you want to do this partnership with this company for this thing of sell these supplements? No, I don't like none of the ingredients that y'all got. I could make a couple bucks, but I really don't like it. I'm not going to use it, so I can't tell other people to use it. It's exactly. Something that's small, but it plants a seed, and then it grows into something bigger. Now somebody asking for something bigger that really challenges your integrity, but you used to do little things. Now the big one just, yeah, it's okay.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, no thanks. And that's the benefit and the luxury when you have sacrificed enough to where you have the comfort level to say no. You're not desperate or in survival mode.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I've been broke before. No, what's the worst thing that can happen? I just get back. I'm a hustler. We go figure it out.
We've done it before. Absolutely. So we're talking about like physical movement and doing things that are good for the body. What are some like intentional movements that support mental and emotional well-being?
Box breathing is the first one that comes to mind. It allows you to reset your whole system, and the stillness of it. You get to focus on your breath, but your mind gets a moment to kind of just settle in and relax as well. And for those who don't know what box breathing is when you're inhaling for 4 seconds, exhaling for 4 seconds intentionally 8 times. And if you do that, you start to notice how many times you're, it's funny for those who have Apple Watches. It's funny because your Apple Watch tries to nudge us to do it. It'll randomly say, hey, you need to take a moment and breathe. Like our Apple Watch nudges us, and it's like a blue little light that pops up. Little things like that, like it helps. It helps recenter you. It helps reduce your cortisol levels. Small moment of silence goes a long way.
Oh my goodness. Listen, just turn everything off, put your phone down, and just sit there for like 30 seconds. It's okay. The little commercial that comes on TV, I do it every time it comes on. I think it's like an RSV commercial with a little beeping sound and the little line goes, because I just want to see if I can hold my breath that long. I'm like, oh, this actually relaxed me a little bit though, because it's just quiet.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I do a lot of my work when everyone goes to sleep, or I just get up super early because it's just dead silence. And I can think, either I can work or I literally could just think. Yeah. And it's funny, I catch myself sometimes. I'm like, my best ideas come in the shower because they ain't no distractions. It's
right. And nobody
water. Exactly. So it was like, take that principle of quietness and try to apply it somewhere else.
That's good. So make sure y'all look it up, box breathing. Try to do it every day. Get it in your schedule, something. Like, we need to calm down. We need a whole reset. The whole world needs a reset. Like, everything is always on.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you ain't had none of this. TV even turned off at a certain time.
It was still stressful back then, but they couldn't tell because you only get access to a little bit. Now, right. I think people need to learn to just unfollow people. I unfollow people in a heartbeat. If I see something that's stressing me out, I'm just going to unfollow that case. There was something that happened a couple weeks ago with a lady at the hospital, and there was a video circulating, and my wife tried to share it to me, and I'm like, I can't watch that.
The pregnant lady?
Yep.
I couldn't watch either. Nope.
I can't watch that.
Nope. I said, no, I don't feel like being that emotional. Nope.
I couldn't watch it. I'm like, I don't know how you watching it. You literally pregnant.
Right.
I was like, I can't watch it.
It's certain videos. I'm like, nope, not watching it. Nope. It was another one that circulated a couple weeks ago with the lady who was walking home with her son and those kids beat her up. I'm like, I'm not watching that.
Yeah, I don't want to see that. It's just going to stress me out. Then your mind starts to spiral. It's just like, okay, now we got to eat now. I'm okay.
Overstimulated. No, thank you. Turn the TV off. Let me see what I got next. What connection do you see between unresolved trauma and how women experience tension, pain, disconnection in their body?
It's very interconnected because there's certain things that just make you tense, like a loud noise if it's unresolved. And it reminds you of things that happened in your childhood where your parents used to yell. Now all of a sudden you're tense. Now all of a sudden you're on edge, or you have a rapid heart rate, or your heart skips a beat. Little things like that can show up in many different aspects. So what is the trauma and what is the trigger? Sometimes we don't even know what the trigger is. All of a sudden you was having a good day, you see something, now you're just pissed and you don't even know why. It's like, I was having a great day. All of a sudden, my energy's down. Yeah, something just triggered you, but you got to do the deep work to figure out. Because sometimes it's top of mind. Sometimes it's deeper, and you don't realize it. And then once you're aware of it, you have to do the hard work to make the adjustment. There was, it was a couple years ago for me, and I grew up kind of in an abusive home, and I didn't realize it until it happened. I was at a friend's house and his like parents were upstairs. They were loud as a mug, but they were like laughing, but it triggered me. And I was like, I didn't know that was there. It just took me back to that little kid again. And I was like, I didn't know that was there. So it was something I had to deal with once I got triggered. So I think once we acknowledge those things, now it's up to us to do the work to try to improve it. Otherwise, it's still going to be there. It's like a wound that never heals. You can put something over it, but until you do the deep work to actually heal it and nurture it, it still won't exist.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Yeah. Yeah. We hold on to a lot of trauma, and a lot of us just try to act like it doesn't exist, but our bodies don't forget it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't forget it. Dang.
And we got active trauma that work. Every time you step into your job, now you're all of a sudden tense. You just had a great day. As soon as you step to work, now all of a sudden your shoulder's tight. You don't want to talk to nobody. Like, even that is current everyday trauma. So now I get it. You got to go to the job, but how can we make that a more enjoyable experience?
Yeah. Or
that coworker come by your desk, you all of a sudden trigger. Like, what are things that we can do to address that kind of trauma that is live and we have to deal with it every single day?
Yeah, because as soon as somebody pings me with an instant message, I'm like, oh my God, what? Like, why are you emailing me like, as if I'm not at work?
That's all trauma.
Triggers. Oh my God, this is the life of trauma.
That's all traumas. My Facebook page got hacked. I was at 530,000 followers, and my Facebook page got hacked like a couple of months ago. Now, anytime I see any type of off message on Instagram, Facebook, I am triggered. I'm like, cannot do this again. So the little things that creep over.
Yeah, that sucks. People need to get a life.
They do. They do.
That's crazy. So for someone who is struggling with like anxiety, grief, or emotional heaviness, what movement or movement practices can help with them to feel safer or grounded in their body?
I think yoga is amazing because yoga is all centered around body control, deep breathing, being in tune with how you're feeling versus other exercises. If we look at just traditional strength training, you go to gym, knock out a couple of these and just get after it without really thinking. Yoga, you have to be intentional. Certain movements are paired with your breathing. You can't just do a downward dog and be puffing and think it's gonna feel good. Like, you have to be intentional and really tap into your body. So I think yoga is gonna be one because it slows you down. You have to be present. You have to be mindful. You have to work on your deep breathing. And you're able to tap into different aspects of just how you're feeling, because literally there's certain movements where you just hold the pose and you breathe. You get a moment to get that release. Your mind gonna be spinning. That's where you actually get to have those deeper conversations with yourself. There's been times I've gone to the gym, or clients have expressed to me, like, I've gone to the gym and they cried after their first workout.
Wow.
Because they were like, I didn't know I've gotten this far off.
Wow.
sometimes that intentional movement unlocks things, and it forces you to have those deeper conversations with yourself.
Yeah. Dang. Yeah. That's deep. That is deep. I'm hoping people start to move more. It just really saddens me to see, or to even hear, when people say that Black women don't work out. Mm-hmm. It bothers me so much.
Yeah. Like, why does it bother you?
Because I don't ever want the most powerful being on the planet to be minimized to something like that. I think Black women are so phenomenal, and for them to be categorized that way, it just upsets me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, we're so much more than that. And that's why I focus my training on Black women.
Yeah, I love that. I think a lot of us need to start looking at movement as medicine. A lot of the diseases that run in our family don't have to. We just, one, need to move a little more. And all honestly, soul food ain't good for the soul. It was good at the time, but it ain't good for the soul right now.
Nope.
We have the luxury of not having to cook that way.
Listen, man, we are not on the plantation anymore. I don't want that. So it's funny. I was one of a team that I have, we were talking about apps. Mm-hmm. And they were like, yeah, I got all these big back apps. I got like 5 pages. What kind of apps are these? Like, what are you talking about? And he screenshot. I'm like, you need to delete those. It was like every single fast food restaurant app.
Really?
I was like, I didn't even realize these exist. Like, I have Tropical Smoothie.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, we really got to do better. Like, that's pure laziness, sir.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to nudge you. They're going to, if you got your notifications on, you can just be chilling on a random Sunday. Hey, we got a $5 deal. You go get it. Like, why even put yourself in the position
right,
to do it? Because the notification coming. It's the same thing with TV. You're just sitting on the couch, you see a Domino's commercial. I wouldn't mind some pizza for dinner.
Right. No, wouldn't even think about pizza.
Planted the seed. Now you got all the seeds on your phone. Triggering you.
That's crazy. Yeah, we got to do better, man. Like, it's okay. Like, you don't have to eat like that every day. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I can't even imagine. My body would like, girl, if you don't sit down somewhere, ain't happening.
Yeah. And that's the hard part, because you know the difference. Some people don't know the other side, so they're just used to feeling that way. And I think that is the hard part of getting someone to realize, hey, the fact that you wake up tired every day, the fact that you got knee pain, the fact that you're bloated, like, that's not normal with age. It doesn't have to happen, but I need you to feel the other side. Whenever ladies come to us, we do a 7-day reset where I'm drastically cleaning up your diet in 7 days. Mm-hmm. It ain't going to be like this forever, but I need to clean it up because I need you to feel the difference immediately. Mm-hmm. So when I start asking you to increase your vegetables, get more fiber, you see the difference. I have one lady lose 10 pounds in 1 week. Majority water weight, inflammation, but she saw the difference. Yeah, doc, when I eat that way, my knees don't hurt as well. I can imagine. Mm-hmm. This is the goal.
Yep. There you go. You're right. I didn't think about that. Like, they've always eaten that way. They don't even know what it feels like to not feel that way. Mm-hmm. Dang, that has to suck.
Yeah.
We're going to get them together, doc. We're going to get them together. We're going to get them together.
By fire, by force. We're going to figure it
out. One big back at a time.
Listen,
we love y'all. We love y'all. Promise. So what do you say to mothers and professionals who feel they don't have time to take care of their bodies?
Pour into your cup first. You got time. It's just not always going to look the way you want it to look. You got 10 minutes in a day. If pull up everyone that's listening, go to your phone, go to your settings, look at your screen time. If it is anything over 5 hours, you have time. It does not have to be this long hour, 2 hour workout. You can find 10 minutes to move your body. Because what's going to happen is you do 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there. Next thing you know, I'm starting to feel a little different. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden we find the time. You find the time for the things that you deem important. Start small and build it up. If your screen time is over 5 hours, you got time.
Ooh, y'all got plenty of time, because y'all know y'all be scrolling for no reason in everybody's business in the comments, being messy. Y'all got time.
Listen, get on the treadmill and scroll.
There you go. There you go. Easy. It'll go by fast.
Listen, I was on Instagram Live one time and we were talking about the same exact thing. And I was like, everyone on here, think back to your last 10 things that you purchased that you was like, I didn't need to buy that, but you bought it. Is it over $150? Cool. As soon as we're done, go to Amazon and buy you a walking pad.
There you go.
You're spending the money already. You might as well use it on something to get you healthy. It was crazy. One lady, literally while I was on live, she bought the walking pad and came back. She's like, Doc, I got one. I was listening. I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah. There you go. Now, while you're watching your show, walk.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And there you control the speed. You ain't going to get sweaty. Walk at 2 speed. You'll be all right.
There you go. When you're working from home, walk. Easy. Light work.
Makes a difference.
Look at the convenience in that. Look, back in the day, you would walk outside. That's about
Exactly. And if you got little kids, hide your remote. I haven't used my walking pad in like 2 weeks. My kid hid my remote. I don't know where it is, so mine's just collecting dust.
Yo, that is funny. See, boys, man. Oh man, boys keep you on your toes.
Man, and it's one of those where. You know how things are on Amazon. You can't just buy a remote. So now either I find it or I need a whole new walking pad. So,
dang, that's messed up. Welcome to parenthood. They tear up everything.
They're the tester.
So I got 2 more questions for you. And these 2 questions I ask everybody that comes on my show. What is the best advice you've ever received?
Best advice I've ever received. Slow down. I think that is the best advice because me, going back to what I said earlier, are you running to or are you running from? For me, I'm a high achiever. I graduated, got my doctorate in physical therapy. I found my wife. We got married in like less than a year, had a kid. Then we went to another achievement on top of another achievement. And I am always doing something. And sometimes I got to pause like, bro, you're living in answered prayers, but you're moving too fast to realize it. Slow down. So for me, that is the biggest thing. I have to remind myself to slow down because sometimes I miss details or I just overwork myself because the way my brain works, I hear something, I got to get it done right then and there. It helps in certain areas, but it harms me in others. So I got to slow down enough to use discernment to know when to apply it.
Mm. When is your birthday?
January 12th.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't
it's coming up.
Okay, you're a Capricorn. Interesting. Okay.
Yes.
Last question. What would you tell your 15-year-old self? What advice would you give yourself?
Stop looking for validation in others. Fall in love with yourself first. That is a thing. Because if I'm honest, there's things now, there's times where I still wrestle with that now of, hey, Connie, you're good enough. Hey, Connie, like, you don't need them to tell you, oh, you're doing an amazing job. You got that within yourself. So I think if I could instill that in him back then, that saves us a lot of heartbreak, saves us a lot of stuff over the years. So if I had to tell him, like, bro, life could be lit when you grow up. But love yourself. You don't need nobody else to validate you. Love yourself. And sky's the limit.
Good. That's good. There's so many young Black boys who need to hear that. Mm-hmm. So many. Good stuff. Dr. Akani, you are so necessary. You're so important. You are so incredible. I know you don't need me to tell you this because you already know it. But I just want you to know that the world is honored to have you in it. And I'm hoping that my son can be just like you when he grows up because I think you're outstanding. Thank you for coming on my show. I appreciate you so much. Now, you can tell the people how they can follow you if you have any upcoming events, if you have anything you want to promote. It's your time to shine.
Love it. Love it. Well, first and foremost, thank you for having me here and thank you for your words. I received that. How you can find me, my name is at Dr.SALAKO on all platforms. But if you are a busy professional woman who is tired of struggling to get in shape, you know you need to prioritize yourself and you need a clear cut plan to help you get into better, move in a better direction. What I want you to do is go to my Instagram, message me the word coach, and we can simply just have a conversation around you and your health and figure out where I can help you.
So, that is all. Good stuff. Y'all better call Dr. O'Connor. He be knowing some stuff. I'm trying to tell y'all, he's going to unbig your back. He's going to unbig your mind. He's going to unbig them joints. He's going to have you all the way together, okay? Downward dog, all of that good stuff. Listen, y'all know who I am. I'm Dee Dee Leggett, a.k.a. the Core Queen. This is episode 83. I can't believe it, y'all. We are doing the thing. I need y'all to do me a favor. Go to YouTube if you're not already there. I need to subscribe to this channel. Like this specific episode. Leave us a comment. Let us know how you like this episode. Let us know how you like the doctors coming on with all this great knowledge for y'all. I'm trying to help y'all. You know, I know y'all like ignorant stuff, but I like to bring y'all some knowledge and some healing in these streets. But I need y'all to make sure that y'all follow me on all social media platforms at Dee Dee Leggett or at The Core Queen Fitness. I have a fitness app coming out, y'all. So stay tuned for that. It'll be out soon. Hopefully, my developers are still developing, but we're almost done. We're almost done testing, and it's almost to my liking. So y'all stay tuned for that. Girl, getting too old to be training, y'all. I'm tired. Y'all getting on my nerves. I'm gonna give y'all an app with all my good knowledge in it, so y'all can go and be great. We'll be back here the same time, same place next Wednesday. Every Wednesday, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, live on YouTube and on Facebook. But I'd rather you come on YouTube. And then y'all already know that I wrote a book. I wrote a book, and I need y'all to go buy it. It's on my website, thecorequeen.com/book, or on Amazon. It's called Breaking the Cycle of Childhood Trauma. And it's out here in these streets doing some major things. I have an event on Saturday, December 13th at 6:30 in Atlanta, Georgia. It's called Celebrating Voices. I'll be there with some other authors. We'll be talking fireside about our books and trauma and trying to heal some of this stuff, y'all. We're going to talk about some mother wounds and how we can heal from some mama trauma. So y'all go and get my book, Breaking the Cycle of Childhood Trauma, and get your tickets for Celebrating Voices on Eventbrite. I will see y'all next week. I appreciate y'all every single week for coming out here and talking with me and listening to me ramble on, okay? And we appreciate Dr. O'Connor for coming this week as well. Bye, y'all.
One wish I can be there to spend more time with you. If I had one wish, shopping bags, popping tags, do it all for you, yeah. If I had one wish, I can make all of your dreams come true, girl. If I had one wish, and you would never sleep not alone, I won't leave you lonely. If I had one, baby, you know that I'm busy. I be ripping and running streets, I'm trying to get it. Gotta take care of my children. Baby mama, they just be tripping, they don't get it. And I know it seems like I put you last, but it ain't the case. I be so busy grinding, trying to make a way. I hope you can understand, just be patient, babe. Oh, girl, go ahead and set the date. Let me know just the time and place that you wanna just rearrange for. So we can reunite. You got me so excited. Give you everything you wish for.
If I had one wish,